AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat, and boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio. I'm Teresa Chung, dream decoder, spiritual growth expert, and your guide to the hidden wisdom of your inner world. Each week, we explore how your nighttime dreams, daydreams, and waking intuitions hold powerful messages for healing, insight, manifesting, and personal transformation. Even just by listening each week, you'll start tuning in more deeply to your own inner voice, waking up with greater clarity, purpose, a sense of connection to the invisible strings in your life, and dreams and gratitude for them on your mind. So join me weekly, live or on demand, and just like a dream, expect the unexpected. Hello, dreamers. Welcome to another heartfelt episode of The Healing Power of Your Dreams here on UK Health Radio. I'm Teresa, and today we're diving into the incredible manifesting power hidden within your dreams. Let's begin with a profound insight from Carl Jung, the pioneer of modern dream psychology. Quote, "Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate." Unquote. This is such a powerful reminder. How often do we wake up, shrug off our dreams, or forget them entirely? Yet those dreams, even the unsettling ones, are messages from your inner world, gently or sometimes loudly nudging you to pay attention. One dream that many of you have likely experienced is the classic chase dream. You know the one, your heart's pounding, you're running from something, and you wake up in a sweat. Those dreams can feel terrifying, but they carry an important message. It's time to stop running from your fears and start facing them, understanding them. Jung believed that when we bring unconscious fears into the light, when we explore where they come from and engage with them, they lose their grip on us. Here's a simple but powerful tool for you this week. If you wake up from a chase dream, take a moment to write down what you are running from. If you're not sure, focus on how the dream made you feel, then ask yourself, what fear am I avoiding in my waking life? Before you go to sleep the next night, set an intention. Tonight, I will receive guidance on understanding and facing my fear. Step by step, this process helps you move through fear and expand your comfort zone. Often fears just want to be acknowledged, understood, and even thanked. Yes, thanked, because many of them formed to protect you. But once you understand their original purpose, you can transform fear into excitement. And that's a key part of manifesting, doing what scares you again and again, not just in your dreams, but in your daily life. And speaking of dream work and manifestation, I am beyond excited to welcome today's special guest, Dr. Kelly Sullivan Walden, also known as the Dream Doctor. She's a leading dream expert, spiritual counselor, TEDx speaker, and best-selling author on a mission to awaken the world to the power of their dreams. From tandem dreaming with her sister as a child, to a near-death experience at the age of 40, to interpreting dreams for primetime TV hosts on E! Entertainment, Dancing with the Stars, and The Real Housewives, her path has been anything but ordinary. And she's just released a groundbreaking new title with the irresistible suitable name, Dreamerfesting, a brilliant fusion of dream work, wisdom, and real world manifesting tools. So stay with us because today's episode is going to inspire you to stop running, start dreaming, and manifest a life beyond your wildest imagination. And here's something special too for our live listeners. UK Health Radio is pioneering a Behind the Dreams experience for you. If you'd like to watch the live show as it unfolds, yes, including the wild hand signals to keep us on time and the occasional, well, not so occasional chaos when things go off script, just head over to the Healing Power of Your Dreams page on the UK Health Radio website. You'll find a Zoom link there that opens halfway through the show. Click it to join us live and see the magic and the madness as it happens. And here's the exciting part. If you feel inspired to share your thoughts, ask a question or join the conversation, let us know when you enter the Zoom room. You might just become the dream voice of the show. And if you're catching this later, don't worry. This is a weekly live show. Add the Zoom link, and the Zoom link is always there for you at 3:30 p.m. London, UK time every Wednesday. The show runs from 3 to 4 p.m. like a recurring dream you won't want to miss. But now it's time to roll out the red carpet for this week's dream superstar. I absolutely adore her. I do know her well. We have worked together many years ago and recently, and I love everything about her message and her vision. It's the dream doctor herself, the one and only Kelly Sullivan Walden. Kelly, hello. Thank you for being patient in that rather lengthy introduction, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, Teresa, it is so dreamy to be with you, and your introduction was fabulous. I'm so intrigued and inspired, and it's always so wonderful to be with you.
Well, you inspired it because I remember the first time when I was introduced to you, because we were presenting a kind of a conference together, weren't we? Mm-hmm. Was that you described yourself as a mix of Carl Jung and Lucille Ball.
I did.
And I love that because sometimes it's also worthy, isn't it? And serious dream work. And you do bring the humor in it. Because why do you do that? Why do you do that? Why do you think it's so important when you're doing dream work to have humor?
Oh, wow. Well, I think I'm just a goofball by myself. I mean, I can get very serious. Believe me, I can get very deep, very serious. But I think there's something about the deeper I dive, and even strangely into nightmares, the more I do what you were talking about in your introduction, the facing and embracing. I have what I call my fear formula, which is face, embrace, ace, and replace those characters in the dream. But there's a celebration. The more I do that, it doesn't mean I'm fearless. Obviously I'm not, but I become more childlike. I become more, I don't know, easily entertained by simple things, and I have a lot more fun. So I think there's something about the kind of the telltale sign of doing the dream work is that life becomes a bit more magical, even amid so many things that are absolutely unpleasant and difficult. But there's so much joy. And so the dream work, I credit the dream work for the joy and for the silliness and the goofiness. I think goofiness is next to godliness.
Some dreams are just plain ridiculous, aren't they? Do you think they're just to entertain us and maybe to get us to lighten up?
Isn't that interesting? I think so. I mean, I remember somebody telling me, oh, I've had such a bizarre dream. I said, it's bizarre to not have a bizarre dream. You should be suspect if your dreams are very ordinary, then that's something to actually worry about. But it does seem that, yes, on one level, the dreams are just bizarre. I mean, in fact, the more bizarre the dream symbols, that those are the ones to pay most attention to. I feel like those are the cosmic highlighter pens saying, drill here, pay attention to this. But I do think that if we look at any of the strangest symbols or the strangest occurrences in the dream, if we shine a little light on them and drop in and try to listen from their perspective, they're speaking a very specific language. It's like going anywhere. When I was in France, I don't speak French. Well, now I do a little bit, but it's like they're actually saying something over there. Like, wait, what? When I was in Japan, it's like, wait, they're actually saying something. Our dreams are actually saying something. Lo and behold, there's wisdom in that.
course, and I love the way that recently, and I totally agree with your vision here, how you've explained that dream work is an essential tool for manifesting, the self-help
Yes.
word. You've combined the two, and I'm going to pick your brains, your thoughts on manifesting, why it can work, what the roadblocks are in a minute. But shortly, just so listeners who are new to you can get to know you a bit more, can you start at the beginning, Kelly? Can you share how your personal journey with dreams led you to
Sure.
becoming this kind of a celebrity dream decoder, aren't you? And an authority in this field. You have published works that people really rate, and you've gone on massive shows to talk about dreams. But how
Thank
did
you.
it start?
Wow, it just started in my childhood bedroom. Kind of princess kind of coverings over the bed. I have four sisters, but my sister Shannon and I always shared a bedroom. We're closest in age, and we would talk out loud in our sleep. And my mom would come in the middle of the night and say, "Girls, go to bed." And she'd realize we were in bed, but we were talking in our dream state with each other in the dream state.
Dream
And
chat.
then,
Wow.
yes, so there was. And then there was other dreams that we weren't necessarily talking out loud about, but we would, over breakfast, I would talk about the clown, and she would say, "Oh my God." And she would fill in the gaps because she had seen the same clown. She had been in the same dreamscape. And this happens to this day. If I have a very vivid dream and I share it with her, she'll pick up where I left off and she'll fill in the rest of the details. So we often will share a dreamscape, and sometimes we're in it. Sometimes we're aware that we're in it. And at other times, it's just basically, it was a source of entertainment. Dreams were a source as kids. But then it seemed as we were growing up, or for sure as I was growing up, I was able to start to, my dreams would reveal things to me. It would show me when the boy I was dating that promised he wasn't seeing another girl, I could see him clearly in my dream, kissing the other girl and doing other things. And I would bring it to him, and finally he confessed, "Okay, fine." So it's like, don't lie to a dream girl. Don't lie to a psychic. You got to be honest. But then over the years, it felt like my dreams were a source of great insight and wisdom. And it just seemed like it was something that everybody had. I didn't think it was really anything special until I lost it. Because as you know, I spent some time in Hollywood in the pursuit of acting, and I did get some acting roles. I got to work with Clint Eastwood and Nicolas Cage and Forest Whitaker and had some wonderful experiences. But for every one job I got, there were hundreds more that I didn't get, and the rejection was just beating me to a pulp. And during that time, I was so outwardly fixated on the outer dream that I didn't care about what was happening internally. My internal spirit guidance, my dreams, I didn't care. I didn't pay attention to them, and because I was so focused externally. And then I hit a quarter life crisis where I just became so, I was such a husk, just a shell of myself. I had become such a people pleaser, and I wanted to die. I didn't want to be on the planet. It was a true crisis point. And sometimes when you wave the white flag at the universe, like, "I'm just done. I can't do it this way anymore," divine intervention comes in. And I had somebody invite me to a 12-step program. Somebody introduced me to their therapist. Somebody bring me to their different spiritual healers, spiritual counselors. Eventually, I became a hypnotherapist and started getting my dreams back. But they came back with a vengeance, wolves chasing me one after the next, and my counselor, my teacher, and guide at the time said, "A nightmare is an unfinished dream. You're the director of your dream. It isn't over until you say so." And that catapulted me. That was one of those just like the Holy Grail moments of like, wow, I went on to learn how to redirect my dream. I didn't know that it was imagery rehearsal therapy, IRT, that's being practiced at all kinds of fancy dream laboratories and institutions and medical places. But that became a part of my way out of my pain into my power. And I started to teach it to people. eventually started having a client base that started to come to me for hypnotherapy. And I was being encouraged to teach to write what I was teaching in my sessions. And that became the basis of my first book. I had The Strangest Dream, The Dreamer's Dictionary for the 21st Century. It was picked up by Warner Books and later Hachette, and it became just kind of a thing. And I backed into it, but dreams have become kind of my magic carpet ride through life, and always kind of manifesting, but in the background. So when I get to come all the way to dreamifesting, all the way to you, I've found that if we allow our dreams to do the heavy lifting of the work that we have to do, it creates more grace in our life. It doesn't have to be so painful, so difficult. So we make it so much more difficult for ourselves than it has to be. And if we really lean on the power of our dreams, our lives can have more grace and a lot more joy. So that
They
sort of
remind
brings me
me
back
of
to you.
what you were saying. No one can lay a hand on your dreams. They are your inner world, aren't they?
Oh,
And
yes.
I love how you so honestly, thank you, described your journey from really outside in to inside out. That's how you discovered the healing power of dreams, because you realized you're a dreaming being. And I guess you also had a near-death experience. Am I correct in thinking?
Yes, I did. Yes, when I turned 40. But I want to tell you the aha that I'm just having with you right now. And I'll tell you about the near-death experience because that's important. But when you said nobody can lay a hand on your dreams, that's true and very, very powerful. And yet there's people that sometimes will show up in a dream and it can seem like it's a place where sometimes we need to protect ourselves. When we go into the dream state, if we have particular nightmares that seem like we're getting a psychic attack, which I've had on occasion. So, but there's techniques we can use to be able to protect ourselves. So our dreams are ours, absolutely. And also our books. One of the reasons I don't know if it's the same for you, because you are more prolific than I am. This is my 11th book, 7 oracle decks, 2 journals. I've been very prolific as a writer. And part of it is because when I write, nobody can interrupt me. I can say whatever I want. It doesn't mean it's going to end up being published, but there's something empowering also about writing about what seems true. And so I think it's important in a world that can have us feel so powerless to be able to affect change. There are some things that we actually have under our control. And I would say if we did more of that, if we paid more attention to our dreams and then wrote our dreams, my writing journey began with me writing down my dreams. We're all so creative. We're all Picassos in our dreams. Like Picasso said, every child is an artist. Every dreamer is also an artist. Every dreamer is also a shaman. Every dreamer is also a healer. So it's just so empowering that, we don't need to spend much time feeling disempowered in this world if we focus on what we do have some access to.
I love the fact that some people have messaged me after this show saying they can't wait to go to sleep. And I hope, a good way to have a dream and to connect with the inner world and the wisdom it's got to teach. And we're about to go to the first commercial break now. But please stay with us, listeners, because we're going to really unpick Kelly's really unique and compelling take on manifesting. She's going to explain what manifesting is and how you can incorporate dream work with that. So stay with us. You don't want to miss what's coming next.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everyone. Dreamerfest, your very best. I have been repeating that to myself ever since Kelly came up with this wonderful tagline to her latest title, Dreamerfesting, which has already been number one on Amazon, hasn't it? And so many people are loving your approach. But now for listeners, can you please explain what manifesting is first, in your opinion? Because there's a lot of misunderstandings about it. It is the buzzword, the spiritual and personal growth buzzword, you know, and yes, I've been for a while. But please explain what you believe it is.
Yeah, so when I came to really discerning dreamifesting, I had to juxtapose it to manifesting and womanifesting. So we all are a blend of masculine and feminine energies, all of us. So this isn't genderizing, although it will sound like it with the words, but it goes beyond that. So in an extreme, we all must manifest to be in this world. We must have a roof over our heads. We must have clothes on our back. We must provide for ourselves. And one of the reasons why I think dream work isn't more popular is because it's not apparent how helpful it is to helping us manifest the things we need. Most people think, well, when I've got all the money in the bank that I need, all the things that I need, then I'll have the energy and the time to play with my dreams. But I say, no, no, no. Our dreams can absolutely help us manifest. Because if we're manifesting without our dreams, it's like we're pushing boulders uphill. We are working hard to produce effects. And sometimes we have to unmanifest the very thing that we manifest. If we really want that house on the hill and then we get it and we realize, oh my God, I hate living here, then we have to unravel that if we're not attuned to our other than conscious mind. So manifesting in the extreme is just kind of bulldozing our way through life and not taking no for an answer and then suffering the consequences of that. On the other extreme, we've got womanifesting. So some people that are womanifestors, they might rely too much on the kindness of strangers, kind of a Dubois, Blanche Dubois kind of a thing, like a, help me, I can't do it, somebody do it for me. And people will do things for her or him just to get him to shut up. And so that it becomes a strategy to get needs met by having our weakness be worn on our sleeves. But then we've got dreamifesting that I believe blends the best of manifesting. So we do have that pull ourselves up by our bootstraps kind of energy and suit up and show up and do what's ours to do. And the best of womanifesting, which is allowing help from people that would be benefited so that we can be in a win-win situation with other people. We're not an island. And then dreams are our access to the universal mind, to the consciousness that is way beyond and way more sophisticated than our ordinary conscious mind, that can actually show us what's in our blind spot that is holding us back, and it can show us what to focus on so that we don't get caught up in the maze of all the distractions. So if we have our dreams be a component to our manifesting, I think we create the things that we want, but in a more sustainable way that is a blessing for all involved, that ends up being something that is like self-generating, like a hybrid car that can keep running without using up the its natural resources, that tends to be regenerative. And that's the goal. That's what dreamifesting is all about.
I mean, are you saying that when we dream, what we get is a nightlight shone on our current mindset and what it is attracting or repelling? Mm-hmm. That's so important, because often in the day we deny or repress or don't acknowledge what we truly
Exactly.
think. So are you saying that in our dream work, we get to know who we are really at our core?
I would say so. As a hypnotherapist, according to the American Hypnosis Association, they say that 12% of our mind's power is our logic. That's the part of us that we're using right now to have this conscious cognitive conversation. Our logic, our reasoning, our willpower, that's 12% of our mind's power. Whereas our subconscious dreaming mind is 88% of our mind's power. And most of us don't use that. Most of us say, no, I've got this. It's kind of like, it's just like the tug of war of like the little scrawny guy versus the big strong guy. No, I've got it. I've got it. It's like, no, we don't have it. We need all the support we can get. This conscious mind, the subconscious mind, it knows what the lottery winning tickets, the lottery winning numbers are. It knows who our beloved is. It knows how to navigate best. What's in our blind spot? What is the difficult thing, and what to propel us toward? The simplest way, I think, to look at dreams, just to get very practical about it, is to look at dreams from the perspective of, is this helping me to let go of something that's in my way, or that is slowing me down, or that is sabotaging me, or is it giving me something, a way to be able to propel? Like the flying dreams are a way to be able to raise our energy so that we can be of a vibration on par with that which we desire. So everybody's had at least one of those dreams. And I think the meditating on one of those dreams is one of the most powerful things we can do, because manifestation is really a function of vibration. And our personal dreams can help us raise our vibration more than anything else, I
You're
think.
saying you have to create that inner shift first to
Absolutely.
start attracting what you want into your life. So would you say you can, if you incubate a dream, we can talk a bit about how to do that,
Yes.
where you see yourself living or doing what you want, do you think you're closer to attracting it in waking life? So if you can dream it, you can do it.
Oh, Teresa, you're so eloquent. Exactly like that. And dreamifesting is basically a fancy word for dream incubation, which is also a fancy word for what to think about before you go to sleep, because those moments right before you go to sleep are prime real estate. So thinking about the things that we desire, that we want to have in our relationship and our health and our wealth at the moments right before bedtime is the best way to do it. However, this is the little sticky piece. Typically, when people think about what they want that they don't already have, and this is the typical way of manifesting, there's this feeling of aspiration, like, yes, I want more money. Yes, I want that red Ferrari. But we also are very aware that we don't have it yet. So there can also be a feeling of feeling less than, and dreamifesting can help us. We can go deeper than that so that we feel full and rich as we go along.
And talking of full and rich, one of the lovely things about this radio show is we get to play music that's meaningful to the special guest. And you have made your choice. And I'd love you to share why you chose it and what you hope it will stir in listeners.
Oh my goodness, I sent you, I know, a few dreams. I think I'm doing Sweet Dreams, is it?
No, why? Taylor.
Oh, Wildest Dreams, Taylor Swift. It's a newer song relative to some of the other classic dream songs, but every time I actually find myself singing it to myself when I'm doing the dishes, when I'm on a walk. It's kind of, Taylor Swift just has such a dreamy voice. I love her so much. And this song, Wildest Dreams, is, I mean, it's been my sign-off signature before dreamifesting. May your wildest and most wonderful dreams all come true. And we're dreaming all the time, so this can happen now. It's just a remembering that we're dreaming, and I love Taylor. So yeah, let's do that.
Okay, Kelly, for you and everyone listening, here's to having wild and wonderful dreams, not just by day, but not just by night, but by day too. Welcome back to the Healing Power of Your Dreams with special guest, the dreamifesting expert, Kelly Sullivan Walden. And it's the part of the show where anything could happen, just like a dream. It's wildly unexpected. And delighted to say we have a wonderful lady joining us called Jill Carr. Jill, would you mind introducing yourself, who you are, share your dream story briefly, and then Ask Kelly a question or share an insight. The stage is yours, the dream stage is yours.
Hello. Nice to meet you, Teresa.
And happy birthday.
I just explain, can I, about what I do? I'm an author. I've written a book called Astrolations, which examines all your astrological relationships using both the Western zodiac signs combined with Chinese signs to give a full insight into one's character and how such people relate to each other astrologically. So it's a mine, what do we call Aladdin's cave, I'd say, of information. And that's published by O Books. I also have a website, astrojill.com, which gives predictions for the year ahead for all signs. I also do write on Substack about my astrology blends, and I've got an Astrolations Facebook page. Hello, Kelly.
In about dreams and
Hi.
how sun signs dream, or however, whatever. Kelly,
Was that a question?
Jill, do ask Kelly a
Oh,
question.
sorry. I
Dreams and manifesting.
think my sound the sound's a little bit low here. Sorry, yes. Well, Kelly, my question is about a recurring dream that I do have concerning water. It's not threatening water. It's usually rising, but not in a danger, or I don't feel it's a dangerous way. It feels okay. Here's the water, it's getting high. It wasn't there before. I can't get across it, but it's there. But it's all right. And it's strange. It's sort of even a little bit comforting in a way.
In a
You
little
know,
bit,
so
what was that last word?
it's sort of rather
Comforting.
comforting in a way, yeah. Even though you'd think, almost like a flood, but it doesn't feel as if it's threatening me. That's the weird thing.
Okay. Oh, I love this dream. Is there more? Is this, I don't want to cut you off.
It's just one of it's like a recurring type of dream. I very rarely have a dream where I'm struggling in water, but I often do have a dream concerning water where I'm walking along or I'm in some buildings or looking around buildings and the water sort of
Okay.
suddenly rises, but not in a torrent or a flood. Do you
In
still
it,
understand what I'm saying?
oh yes, absolutely. I love this. In a few words, what's your association with water? And then I'll jump in and give you mine, but I'd love to hear
You
yours.
mean in my sort of astrological sense or
Just the first
anywhere?
things that come to you, if I was an alien and didn't know what water was, which I am an
Pleasures of
alien,
the
so.
water. I like magnesium water. I enjoy swimming. Yeah. As long as it's not somewhere dangerous, like a sea with big waves in a swimming
Okay.
pool.
Okay, but mostly pleasant.
Mostly pleasure swimming. Yeah.
So if it were my dream, this is just me being very, just following my hunch. Given especially what you shared you do for a living, and with the work with astrology and all the esoteric work, my first association with water is it is the esoteric. It's the numinous. It's the, like, anything on ground. If I was going to look at the world through the lens of yin and yang, I'd say everything that is yang would be the structures on the road, that can be anything that can be built in the earth, would be the masculine aspect. The feminine is the water that flows. And if the water's rising in my dream, it feels like I'm becoming more connected to the numinous. I am becoming, my world is becoming more watery. Things are becoming more of a flow, and I'm quite comforted by this. Whereas most people who live in the very structured world of it must be this way would be very difficult. A lot of people struggle with water in their dream, to me, which tells me that it's they struggle with their own psychic qualities or their own feminine qualities. But in this dream, if I'm Jill, I'm quite comfortable with the rising of the water. I'm fine because I can probably breathe under there. So yeah. those are my feelings.
That makes a lot of sense to me because I think whilst I was having this, I do think I'm a fairly psychic person. I'm very intuitive probably rather than psychic. And I think a lot of these dreams were occurring whilst I was in the business of writing this book, where I was connecting, you know, if you say with the newness, with the unexplained,
yes,
but feeling comfortable with it, and tapping into inner energy. So I think you encapsulated really what I think myself. That's great.
I feel like Teresa's got some wisdom on this. What about you, Teresa?
Common dreams, water in dreams, drowning. And you're absolutely right, Kelly, to highlight how do you feel about the water? Because that's the clue to the interpretation. And clearly, Jill, you were waving, not drowning. Enjoy those dreams. Thank you so much for sharing your insights. Really, really enjoyed that. Thank you. And
we're
going to go to a commercial break now. And we have Steve, who's going to join us afterwards with a question. Jill, feel free to hang around, put your feet up and watch if you want to.
Well, that's fantastic. I will watch for a bit. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, both
Thank
of you.
Thank you, Jill.
Enjoyed
Steve,
it.
See you on the other side, everyone.
Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, dreamers. And just like a dream, time is disappearing. I cannot believe how quickly time is. Those were all in the flow. And I'm delighted to say we have another amazing dreamer calling in, Steve Rother. Steve, please take it away. Tell us who you are, what you do, and if you have a question or an experience with Kelly, I'm sure she will give you her Dr. Dream analysis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hi, Teresa. Thank you so much. I've been listening in. This is incredible. I'm a channel, so I'm on the spiritual side of things rather than the technical side of things, but it all blends together in the dream world. That's what I have always been fascinated by. So I've always been interested in how this happens. Now, before I get to my question, I have to preface what my situation was. I was married for almost 50 years. My wife dreamed every single night. And I kind of got in the habit of getting up in the morning and listen to her for a half an hour tell me about these dreams. And then after she would do that, she'd say, tell me about your dreams. And of course, I had no memory. I'm sure this is probably one of the most asked questions possible. But tell me a way that maybe give us some advice about how we can remember our dreams. I know you mentioned earlier that valuable real estate just before we go to sleep. I've been telling myself to remember my dreams. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Do you have anything for that?
Yes.
The stage is yours because you live for and dream about. So
it's true. Well, first of all, great to see you, Steve. And
nice to see you.
So first thing, if you're sleeping with somebody else, I think the proper protocol is to write your dreams down and not immediately tell somebody else out loud, because the dreams are so wispy in the mornings. If my husband was to tell me his dream, I would lose mine, because in
That's
the listening
exactly
of his, it kind of cuts the connection. So it's beautiful when couples share dreams with each other, but I would say do it over coffee later after you've written your own dream down. so that you don't, one person doesn't have to give up their dream so the other person gets to remember theirs. We all get to have ours. Here's the other trick that I found that is really helpful. If you get up in the morning and write something down, anything down, even if it's not exactly a remembered dream, even if it's just, because we're always thinking something. So even those dream adjacent thoughts that we're thinking right on the heels of dreams, those are still valuable. And sometimes in the recording of those thoughts, a wisp of a dream will come through. So I would say it's kind of like the movie Field of Dreams. Build it, yeah. They will come. If you build in a practice of writing something down first thing in the morning before you listen to anybody else's dream or do anything else, write your own dreams or dream thoughts down. And eventually what's going to show up on those pages or in your app will be, in fact, your dream. I'm sure Teresa's That's got another technique up her sleeve.
Well, I focus on the feelings, the emotions, because I yes. wake up slightly different each morning. And dreams speak in the language of symbols, the symbolic language, but also emotions. So I would say write down how you feel, and often that would trigger a dream memory. Similarly, I know you've written about this, Kelly, keeping still on waking.
Yes, not moving a muscle, being trained to stay in that sleep position that you were just in. Right. Until you can remember at least a wisp, a feeling is a great wisp, because that comes coated with so much more wisdom and information.
I truly believe that dreams are desperate for your attention. They are longing for you to think about it. And I always hope people listening to this show every week, it's going to stimulate more and more dream recall, because for an hour, hopefully, they're thinking about their nocturnal dreams and their waking intuitions. And where your attention goes during the day is where your energy flows and what shows up. So I think just thinking about the possibility of dreaming during the
day. Exactly. And this will sound like a shameless plug for me and Teresa's books, but if you read dream literature as you go to sleep, Teresa's latest book, Nightborn, is incredible. What people are telling me, because my book's been out now for a couple of weeks, that they're reading it as they go to sleep and they're remembering more dreams. And part of it is because that part of your conscious mind is saying, wow, I don't want to miss out on this. There is a world going on here. I want to remember. So one of the ways to remember a dream is to get excited about them. Yeah. Not so excited that you don't go to sleep, but excited enough.
I think I trained myself to, I woke up in the morning and I couldn't wait to hear my wife's dreams. So I think I tried to train myself to tap into her story instead of listening to mine, because it was so fascinating and she had such interesting dreams. So,
well, you're a kind and good husband. So good on you on that. But you can have a yes and. You can have it all.
Exactly. I wonder how many guys are listening and thinking, oh, no, I'm not going to. Not that our books put you to sleep, Kelly. That's what you're saying.
Well, maybe they put us into dreaming. How about that? Right. I mean, I've been known to put people to sleep as a hypnotherapist. That's kind of what I do. But I like it. I think it's really good. But by the way, a couple that shares dreams together stays together. I think there's something in the sharing of the dreams that keep getting to know the other person. You never get, it's like there's another room available in the mansion of expansion of your beloved that you never knew before. It's that's just right. a way to keep it fresh, keep the love alive.
What you say, that dreams are a great
That's pretty much what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry, no, Steve, over to you. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just saying, I also have been told through my channel that we're multidimensional, and sometimes we actually drift into other dimensions of our own when we're dreaming. Tell me if that's accurate from your perspective. That just fascinates me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's so, I mean, our dreams are really just, they're a hallway to so many different rooms in the mansion of expansion. That's kind of one metaphor I use in dreamifesting. We relate to ourselves as the Lak Shak, but who we are is the mansion of expansion. We are infinite and we're connected to infinity. So yes, sometimes our dreams just give us some wisdom and insight about our current lives, but sometimes they introduce us to other realms of reality, the lives of other avatars. Of there's states of consciousness that have yet to be recorded or introduced into into humanity. So we're all on the edge of something.
And I love your poetry there, Mansion of Expansion. And talking of Mansion of Expansion, we have expanded here because we have Jill Jackson with us.
Wow, so many Jills. It's great. It's a Jill Steve sandwich. That's great.
I love that. Double Jill. I believe in these things. Jill, would you mind taking the spotlight or nightlight and sharing who you are, dream story, and maybe to ask Kelly, Steve, or the other Jill a question or myself?
Yes. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me, Teresa. And I love both of your works, you and Kelly both. And yeah, one question that I would love Kelly's perspective on is, do you feel like with the Schumann resonance that has been going off the charts lately and the collective awakening of humanity, do you feel like people are more easily able to tap in and remember their dreams more often? Do you feel like, or the full moon, do you think that energy has any type of assistance, I guess?
I think you're onto something, and I think there is an awakening that is happening. There are a lot of people that are getting their tap on the shoulder. Their dreams are becoming very, very vivid, very bright because of these different energies that are happening. And it's interesting, like sometimes during the darkest of times, there's also simultaneously the lightest of times. This is a time of incredible awakening. And this is one of the reasons why I think Teresa and I are both so passionate about dreams as one way to be able to help stabilize us during this time, to give us something to hold on to that's reassuring, that is comforting. Just like the other Jill's dream about the water rising. Perfect example as to like to relate to your question. The water is rising. And for us to feel comfortable in it, and for us to feel a sense of our own, like that we're surrounded by love while we're rising, it's a beautiful time. So most of the greatest contributions to this, to humanity, to consciousness, have come during challenging times. It's people that are dedicated to finding the light even amidst the darkness. So I would say yes, in a word.
And the fact that the show exists as well is a wonderful sign. You know, on UK Health Radio, we're talking about the inner world.
Yes.
The mind, you know, the unseen dimensions. And we're given this amazing platform to talk about it. It is a sign, Jill. I absolutely agree. Have you found that your dreams have become more vivid?
Absolutely. And my clients as well, and my students. And I feel like that during these times of perceived chaos and dismantling of everything that we have previously known, that our dreams and connecting to the higher realms can assist us in so many different ways. And I feel like that is helping us shift. And I love the mansion of expansion, Kelly, that metaphor. That's awesome. Because it's so true. You know, so many of our fears come up during these challenging times that humanity is going through right now. But if we can help each other remember that we are so powerful beyond belief, and that we all agreed to co-create this new earth, and our dreams are helping us remember that through symbology and messages. Yes, I love that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that, and sharing that your clients are also having this. So yeah, our dreams are, I think, one of our greatest allies. They're not our only ally, but they are certainly one of the greatest ones. And it's universal. You don't have to be psychic to have dreams. You don't have to be a numerologist. You don't have to know what planet is squaring your moon. You just, if you can, just write something down first thing in the morning, and it comes bearing fruit if you pay a little bit of attention to it.
And pay attention to the phases of the moon as well, because there was a fascinating study recently that came out that during the waning period of the moon is when our dreams are most likely to be foreshadowing or precognitive or intuitive. I found that really interesting. They were doing studies. So pay attention to the phase of the moon, because each phase can bring special magic. But for people listening who, again, Steve, as you so kindly brought to the table, you know, not being able to recall your dreams is a common problem. I get many, many messages about that. Kelly, do you think that that in a way is a message in itself, that maybe your external world has got the logic and the reason and mm-hmm. conscious world has just got too noisy?
Absolutely. Well, just even to go back to your question that I didn't answer before about my near-death experience, one thing, I feel like there's a relationship between remembering dreams and what's happening in the afterlife or the other life. There's something, this world is compelling. Our logic, our 12% focus on the logic, it's compelling, and it should be, because otherwise we would just fly right off this planet. So it's good that it's hard to remember dreams, because it's part of the mechanism that has us fulfill our covenant for being on this planet. If it was too easy to leave, most of us wouldn't stay. So, but it's good for us if we know, okay, I'm committed to being here 100%. So now I have the freedom to trust where my dreams are going to go. They're not going to sabotage my ability to be here. Now that I know what's on the other side of the curtain, I know there's nothing to fear out there, that it's beautiful on the other side. That's great, but I'm still going to be here. While I'm here, I'm going to be in this human form. So it's part of how it is. It's like we just have to sort of have an amnesia about our dreams and about the other world and about all the psychic phenomenon, because it is sort of risky for some people that, you know, we don't think we can have it all, but we can. But I think we first need to stabilize ourselves here in this world. And then it's like holding a kite. If you know your feet are on this ground, then you can go fly that kite really high up in the air and have a blast, because you know you're going to come back down to earth.
Brilliant. So what's one quick dream practice, Kelly, someone can do tonight before bed to set our intention to dream?
So I would say do the soul goal meditation, and it's something that I give away in the book. You can go to, if you go to dreamifesting.com, you can find out more about it. But there's a soul goal meditation that you can do right before you go to sleep that connects you with the ego level of goal. Like, I want the guy, I want the girl, I want the car, I want the whatever. But then you drop deeper than that. Ooh, that's going to give me peace and joy and freedom. And then what's under that is, well, then I'd be connected to everyone. I'd feel at liberty to love. So then you go to sleep on that vibration, thinking about that. So it's kind of a yes and. You put your soul goal in the driver's seat before you go to sleep, and you put your ego goal in the passenger seat. So it's a you can have it all thing, but your soul runs the show. And then you feel that sense of, I've already got this, because I can already feel that love without even having to have the red Ferrari. Oh my God, I'm already successful. The rich get richer, the more successful get more successful. If you already feel like you've got what you really need, then the rest kind of follows with more grace. So you think about that in the moments right before you go to sleep, or listen to one of the previously recorded meditations, and you can find out all about all of that on dreamifesting.com or in the book, Dreamifesting.
Kelly Sullivan Walden, Dr. Dream, thank you so much. And Jill Carr, thank you. Steve Rother, Jill M. Jackson, it's just been glorious having you here and bringing your radiant insight and dream wisdom to us today. You've reminded us, Kelly, that dreams aren't just nighttime stories. They're blueprints from our higher selves, guiding us towards the lives we're truly meant to live. And as we wrap up, hold on to this, everyone. Your dreams are sacred, nocturnal nudges, gentle intuitions urging you to trust, to create, and to believe. Please keep journaling, keep listening, and keep aligning your waking life with the visions your soul reveals to you each night. Because if you can dream it, you really can do it. And to honor Kelly's inspiring presence today, and the two Jills and Steve, and the magic that comes from tuning in together to the wisdom within, here's a song that says it all. A reminder that your sweet dreams don't live out there somewhere. They begin inside you. And when you honor them, they stay with you, guiding you every step of the way. This one's for you, Kelly Sullivan Walden. and for every visionary dreamer listening in today.